let's talk about summer camps here. Summer camps all across Western and upstate New York have some decisions to make. And at the moment, the campfires are cold, the cabins are empty. What happens in 2 months when the typical school year would end? Can summer camps welcome kids during a pandemic? By the end of April in a typical year, most families would have decided where they want their kids to spend the summer, at least partially. Day camps, overnight camps, sports, canoeing, hiking, making new friends on a lake, singing songs in the woods, maybe learning new skills in specialty or sporting camps. Everything's a question mark. The pandemic could turn in many different directions, and until there is a vaccine or herd immunity, there will be difficult decisions to make. Camp directors know that their first responsibility is keeping everyone safe. How does that calculation change when a virus is moving through a population? This hour, we're welcoming camp leaders who can help us understand at least their approach right now as we move to the end of April. Are they going to plan to be open? Do they still want you to sign up? What are the plans? What's changing? Let's welcome our guests who are on the line with us. John Quinlivan is the executive director of Camp Stella Maris. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Pleasure to be here today.
Yeah. Mike Stevens is chief strategy officer for YMCA of Greater Rochester. And, of course, YMCA runs a number of camp programs across different regions in New York State. Mike, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Evan. Thanks so much for having us and initiating this dialogue today.
Well, we're glad to do it. And Camp Gary Mervis, you are sort of the camp there. Gary Mervis is the founder of Camp Good Days and Special Times on Keuka Lake. Gary, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let me just ask all three of you, right now, as it stands, as we head for the end of April, your plans, my understanding for all of you, is to be open as close to normal as possible, obviously taking into consideration some adjustments to cleaning, safety, et cetera. But let me ask all of you to explain. John Quinlivan, I'll start with you. Camp Stella Maris, the plan right now, open for the summer, yes?
Yes, we are optimistic, cautiously optimistic, that we will be open for camp programs this summer. We're awaiting guidance from the CDC, which should come out end of this week, and then work with some local and national leaders to really fully develop the plan. Will camp look different? I think so. You know, if you go to Wegmans today, it looks different than it did, but you can still go to Wegmans. I think that camps are going to be similar to that.
Mike Stevens, YMCA camps, and I'm – you know, I'm trying not to be a homer here, but my son goes to Camp Corey and you know loves it. And there are so many different camp programs that the YMCA is involved with. What is the plan for YMCA camps?
Sure. Well, we are certainly approaching this that we are going to be serving kids this summer in both day and overnight camp. As you know, has already been alluded to, there will be a new normal. We continue to understand what that normal might look like, and we're making plans and adjustments really in a real-time fashion, you know, to adjust to information that we're hearing at the national level from the CDC, information from the American Camping Association, from YMCA of the USA. We expect to really get a great understanding nationally in the next probably 3 to 5 days, and that will start to frame the conversation we have at the state level, and next, having the conversation at the local level with our local sanitarians as well, you know, who are charged with licensing camps for operation. So a lot of conversations yet to be had, but we are looking forward to being there for children and families this summer.
All right, Gary Mervis, Camp Good Days and Special Times works with kids. Well, why don't you just remind listeners what it is you do?
I was just a little different situation because the majority of our participants are children and families who have been touched by cancer. The children who are dealing with cancer, obviously their immune systems have already been compromised. So it's been the biggest challenge in the 41 years since I started Camp Good Days. But we're going under the movement that this is not going to be the first summer that we don't have both a day camp and residential camp for our population. It's just now we're doing everything that we can do. And then there's a lot that's out of our control. And so we're kind of watching very carefully. But as everyone said, the camp this summer will be different than the camps in the past because there'll be a new normal, both with the numbers that we'll be dealing with. And so, like I said, a lot of it is really out of our control. We need to get the permits to be able to operate. And even if we do everything that we can do, will the parents and guardians of our campers feel secure that they want their child to be able to go to camp and take advantage of what we have to offer?
Right now, Gary, is the plan, though, to try everything in your power to give them that opportunity?
Yes, I've told our programming staff that, you know, we really should shoot for the 1st of August, and that way we have a lot of time to deal with the ups and downs of what's dealing with the crisis and be a little different. You know, we may be at some of the camps because the parent or guardian's been home with the children. Maybe what we'll do is expand so that the child with cancer, instead of having separate programs for their siblings will be able to join them. So it'll make it a little easier for the parent or guardian to let their children come to camp because it'll be a little respite for them. And then, you know, try to break our programming down maybe to be a little shorter. So instead of having a full week program, having a program that might be extended, you know, 3-4 days. Then another nice thing for us is that, you know, because it's our camp, you know, we can operate into the fall with weekend programs as we do for adults, and we can expand those for children, and we can do, you know, going all the way. We're looking at Halloween as being when we would begin to really close down the camp.
Okay.
So we're making all the plans. The nicest thing for us is that all of our programs and services are provided free of charge. So it's, you know, make it a little easier for the parent or guardian to take advantage of what we offer. But again, like I said, it's just there's so many things that are beyond our control.
Sure. So listeners, what we're learning about camps today, and you just heard Governor Cuomo field a question from a reporter on it. I wouldn't say he deflected. He essentially said we're still gathering information. You know, most camps aren't open until at least the end of May, if not in June. And so, you know, we've got time to make a call on this. The governor didn't say not going to happen. But as our guests have been saying, there may be other organizations that step in, whether it's CDC or others, who say, don't do it. And then it would be out of their hands. They're trying to be ready for your kids in the summer. And, you know, let me go back to Mike Stevens, who's a chief strategy officer for YMCA of Greater Rochester. My family's been going to Camp Anyasa on Chautauqua Lake since the 1940s. And when I was a program director there, you know, if you didn't get dirty during the day, then you really hadn't had much of a camp day. I mean, you're doing physical things, and the kids aren't always doing physical things in terms of touching each other, but they are in close contact. Can you physical distance at a camp, or is that the kind of thing where you say, you know, we're going to do our best to keep everything clean, but we can't physical distance?
Well, I think the first thing that we're looking at is really every single area in camp with distancing in mind, with safety, with sanitizing in mind as well. And as we've discussed about this new normal and what it might look like, the group of kids who get dirty playing a game of Gaga together might be the very same group of kids that then travels to the waterfront to swim together. So one of the things that we're starting to hear both nationally and somewhat regionally as well is, you know, how we are grouping kids together. There is no question the size of the groups will be somewhat smaller, but they will, in some of these examples, travel to camp together. And it's the wise opportunity to look at each of those areas and determine how we're going to sanitize all of those areas. If the kids are in crafts, does it make more sense for it to be a single-use craft project that they're then going to leave with? If they're going to be rock climbing, do we put a plastic sheath over the rope that we're able to sanitize in between users? Do we sanitize life jackets in between uses? So we're really looking at every single area of camp, and we owe that to the parents as well to provide them with the comfort and the assurances of this is what the new normal is going to look like at camp. This is what we understand, and these are all of the steps that we are going to take to ensure that your child is safe and to also ensure, back to your question, they get dirty, right? And they have a traditional camp experience.
That they have the experience, sure. But Mike, you know, one of the things that we need more data on, but we are starting to see more data that indicates the spread of this virus can happen in a lot of different ways, but it is more likely to spread heavily in indoor spaces. So outdoor spaces, I'm not saying there's no danger. I'm not saying when you go for a walk, you go for a run in the park, don't worry about it. I mean, I went for a run yesterday and I wore a mask on a run outside and I saw almost no one. But we know that outdoor spaces tend to be a little bit better environment during a pandemic. Having said that, could you see campers and staff wearing masks, or do you think, you know, that's not something we would want to do?
Well, I would say it's a possibility. You know, we currently have over 400 children in emergency child care today, you know, supporting essential infrastructure workers. Are there some children who are sent to those programs with a mask who might choose to wear it? Yes. Are the staff required to wear those masks? Not when they're interacting with children, when they are interacting with the public, when they're scanning folks in as they come inside our facilities for those types of programs. I certainly agree that being in the outdoors is a safer environment based on everything we've heard thus far, but masks may be a possibility. And again, that may be a possibility that's determined at a national level, at a regional level, or a local level, and we'll have to follow those directions and cues if we want to provide this type of experience this summer, okay. Which I think we all agree is going to be a summer different than maybe even what next summer might look like.
Sure. John Quinn, living at Camp Stella Maris, can you expect to physically distance the campers?
I have to agree with a lot of what Mike said. We're not sure what's going to be required of us yet. You know, one of the great things about camp is that it is mostly outdoors, and you can, it's easier to spread kids out, kids playing, doing gaga, doing waterfront, all those things. It is much easier to keep them out and allow them to still experience the magic of camp and to get dirty. So, you know, we're going to follow the guidance, as the governor says all the time, you know, the facts, just the facts. That's whatever we're told to do. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to stray from that. I think, you know, what the YMCA is doing with emergency child care is very commendable, and are able to learn a lot of lessons about transmission amongst children and how to protect staff and how to protect children. And so we'll learn a lot from that.
And, you know, John, I watched a video that I think I actually watched the Camp Corey video with their director talking about, hey, parents, if you're signing your kids up, a couple of things here, we're going to give you different rules on cancellation. If you want to sign up now and decide it's not going to work, you know, we'll give you a little bit more time to cancel. And then there's the question of where the campers and the staff would come from. I mean, when I was a teenager working at Camp Añasa down at Chautauqua Lake, we had staff and campers from Sweden, Spain, Italy, Japan, South America. I mean, it just, the list went on and on. And in the video that I saw with the director of Camp Corey, he said, you know, look, we may have to monitor on where we can get staff from, and that may change. And I'll let Mike address that in a second. But John, as well, we also have questions on where kids are coming from, because kids come from all over a region, sometimes all over the world. And so is there a concern about, you know, drawing in a wide population, especially when we know that kids may be carriers but asymptomatic carriers?
Absolutely, Evan. You know, we do bring kids in other years from all over the country. You know, one of the great things about Camp Stella Maris is its 94-year-old history. And so you have second and third generations who have moved away and still send their kids to Camp Stella Maris. So, yeah, we're not sure how that's going to work out. There's been some guidance, certainly nationally, and some local stuff that's talked about having camp only for local citizens. What does that mean? While we're in Livingston County, we draw most of our campers from Monroe County. So we're going to certainly have to partner with the Department of Health there in Monroe County to see if it's okay for them to come to Livingston County. But we'll get guidance on that. And you know, right now we have about 1,800 campers signed up for this summer. You know, we're going to allow them to make the decision. Once they know our plan, they'll be able to make the decision as a family about whether they want to send their kid to camp. And, you know, we're as well extending our period of time where they can make that decision. And, you know, folks that decide not to, we're offering full refunds to, you know, we wouldn't be anything if it weren't for our families. And we feel like we have to do what's right for them. And I feel that the right thing is to give them full refunds.
All right, and let me get Mike and Gary on that. So why don't you both hit that. Mike, on the question of refunds for families, if you sign up now for camp and, you know, something happens or you know maybe you don't feel comfortable with it, can you get a refund? And how about an international program and the geographic area you're drawn from?
Sure. Well, I'll start with refunds. Early on, probably in early March, our overnight camps amended their refund policy similar to what was just described in giving people the opportunity up until 14 days before the beginning of the program, they will enjoy a full refund. There's certainly a high level of commitment when we talk about the relationship between a family and the Y or any camp experience provider. And we have to be able to tell them what this new normal that we've been talking about today is going to look like at camp so that they have all of the information and then they can make that decision moving forward. So that has already been communicated out to all of our camp families, and many of whom have already registered and are waiting to understand what this summer is going to look like. On the international front, again, as we look out into our crystal ball and see what is happening and where individuals are able to travel into the United States, at this point, unfortunately, there really isn't a great deal of clarity. So if I was looking into that crystal ball, I would probably predict this would be a summer where that vital component of the cultural diversity that occurs in camp, we host almost 75 individuals from all over the world at our two overnight camps, I would say there's a greater likelihood we won't have that diverse component of the camp experience this summer.
Okay, and Gary Mervis, it's called Doing a World of Good at your
good,
camp.
Yeah. So it's our international program, and unfortunately, because of conversations that we've had with the doctors and chaperones and the other medical centers that we work with all over the world, we've made a decision that for this summer, are doing a World of Good program, you know, is not going to take place. And as far as realizing that we need to do have some spacing issues, that's why I said earlier we're going to reconfigure our cabins so that they'll house fewer kids. There'll be a little more separation between the campers. And as far as refunds, since we don't charge anything to begin with, that's not a problem. But as far as the mask, I am, you know, until somebody tells me different, we'll probably have masks for everyone except our junior Good Days programs. I just ordered 3,000 masks, so that we'll have them available at camp, and we expect, I think, our staff and volunteers and our campers to wear a mask.
All right, down to the last minute, and I guess I'll ask John to address this question from a listener who said, because kids can be asymptomatic, you know, we have to weigh the responsibility of being open during a pandemic. That's from a listener who sends that note and wants you to address that. So briefly, John, how do you weigh that responsibility knowing pre-vaccine, you know, you can't get risk down to zero?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the question that not only we're going to struggle with, but all camps, the schools are going to struggle with that in the fall. You know, we're camp is 60 days away. And I think we're going to know a lot more about testing. It may be required that all kids are tested before they come to camp. That we'll have to wait and see on that. We're also planning on doing health screening prior to kids arriving, staggering arrival times, letting parents know that if their child is developing any symptoms, they're certainly not come to camp. But the listener is correct. It is going to be a challenge to figure this out.
Well, I have a big, big spot in my heart for summer camps and the work that all of you do. And now as a parent of a camper, we're all watching this, and I know you're all going to try to do the best for the kids, whatever that looks like. And that's not easy to figure out right now, but John Quinlivan from Camp Stella Maris, good luck to you. Let's stay in touch, and thanks for making the time.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks so much.
You got it. Mike Stevens from the YMCA of Greater Rochester. Same. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Evan.
And Gary Mervis from Camp Good Days and Special Times. You help a lot of kids who need it, Gary, and I know they're counting on you to make good decisions. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you.
All right. Short break, more connections coming up.